Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Let me pray for us as we open God's words. Father, I pray you'll open our hearts and minds to your voice this morning. Help us hear what you're saying, so that our lives will make a difference for you and others will hear the good news. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today's topic, if you haven't worked it out already, is evangelism. And I'm expecting you all to go, yay!
Yay!
Brilliant. Just to set the context so you know why we're looking at evangelism, the last 3 weeks we've been looking at the big themes of our church at Trendlewood at the moment. The first theme is about prayer. The second one was discipleship. I think, Russ, you spoke on that last week, did you not? And then this week we're looking at evangelism. You know, how do we make Jesus Christ known? Now, that word evangelism can be a contentious subject. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, do I really need to hear a sermon on this subject? But bear with me, please. Bear with me. It's important. Simply put, evangelism is this: sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And then I put a caveat in brackets using words and action. So those of you who are sitting there, oh, we don't have to say words, we can do it by how we live. But my challenge is, do we actually live that way to shine like stars in a crooked and depraved generation? But that's for another time. Jesus, when he spoke the truth, interestingly in the Gospels, most times would back up his words with action. That's why I say words and action are important. And here's a phrase that I have used a lot. Faith by osmosis rarely happens. People need to see it and they need to hear it to change their lives. It doesn't just happen. God, in his infinite mercy, wisdom and grace, I do know people who've come to the Lord just like that. But it's rare. He calls his church to play their part. So we're thinking about evangelism. So who or what are we looking for? If we go to Ephesians chapter 4, there's an amazing chapter there and some verses on the fivefold ministries that God calls. Let me read it to you. So Christ gave himself apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So there are those in this list, aren't there? You've heard it. There are prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors and teachers. God knew there would be such people as evangelists. And you're sitting there thinking, well, there are fivefold ministry, and we know that in the New Testament there are other gifts, God, people. And you can sit there and think, well, evangelism isn't my gift. I'm hoping that actually a fifth of you will be sitting there thinking, yes, I've not heard a sermon on evangelism. I've been waiting. You know, because it's a fivefold ministry, surely we could spit into the room now and have an equal number of people in each of those lists under that heading. We're not going to do it. But while you're sitting there thinking, well, it's not about me, don't switch off. The challenge is we've all been called to be witnesses. Let me just justify that with scripture. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've told you and I've taught you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of age. So as witnesses, he gave that command, that great commission to the apostles. And that commission stands, I believe, today for us to go and be those people. And if that's not enough, Acts chapter 1, you'll have come across this many times, verse 8. He said to the apostles, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Everywhere, you will be my witnesses. not perhaps when you feel like it. You will be my witnesses. So how does that relate to us this morning? Well, it helps us ask the question, who are our evangelists? That's a big question. Where do we see them? How do we sort them? How support them? How do we help them be evangelists? But it also asks the question, how do we witness to our community? How do we share that love of God and Jesus Christ to our whole community? If we're called to do it, how are we doing it and why? And I want to just pick up on two themes from our Bible readings this morning. The first one is from the first reading. The gospel is good news and it is the power of God. So when we're thinking, oh, what am I going to do? Remember, it's the gospel that is good news and the power of God. So in proclaiming, God is doing. And then the second thing we're going to pick up on briefly is, how can people know the gospel unless they've heard it? Because they won't know it unless they hear the word and the good news of Jesus Christ. Now here comes a challenge we face and a conundrum in the world. And maybe there's something you've been thinking about. How do we express our own opinion and our own beliefs without causing offence? Because the gospel can be seen as offensive to many people. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't do. How do we hold out that word of life and the truth of the person of Jesus? Because we need to do it. We know that the church attendance is in decline. We know of the quiet revival or the quiet awakening that is happening in some parts of the country. But generally, the church's numbers are on decline. Okay, there are statistics that say over the last 4 years they have grown a little bit, but statistics are statistics. The question for Trendlewood is, how is the message being proclaimed to our community? Have we seen many converts or baptisms over the last 5-10 years? It's a big question that we need to be asking ourselves as a church. How do we pray for it? Very, very simply, many of you will know my alarm goes off at 9:38 every morning. And it's to remind me to pray. First of all, I've got two prayers now, so I've told this before. The first prayer is to pray to raise up workers in the harvest field to do the work. My second prayer now is lead me to the lost who are ready to be found. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Lead me to the lost who are ready to be found. And those conversations. An example of this, and I won't bore you, it's the only skiing trip story I will tell you. But I prayed this on holiday just a couple of weeks ago. And sometimes when you pray things, you think it's going to happen or not. I like expectation. But I get to my ski lesson, 10:30 in the morning. The first thing that happens is this Irish lady rushes up to me and says, because they all knew I was a vicar. That's another story. And she came up to me. And she said, will you pray for this lady's husband because he's desperately ill, suddenly been taken really ill? And I went, of course I'll pray for this lady's husband. No problem at all. And I said, why don't you pray? And she went silent. She said, well, I think God's given up on me. And I said, God never gives up. Come back. And you could see the light bulb. And she went away, and I asked her the next day, and she'd prayed for this person. She thought God had given up on her. The next day, I turn up to the lesson, and I see this Dutch lady whose husband is drastically ill, and I'll go up to her, and I say, how is your husband? I'm sorry to hear that he's really poorly. How is your husband? And do you believe in God? Do you believe that, you know, there's a God who can heal and to help? And she said, well, I don't have a faith. But something happened because my husband is so much better this morning than we ever thought he would be. Now, some of you think, well, that's you, and I love talking about and having opportunities, and, you know, maybe it's coincidence, but I think God lays a plan. It doesn't have to be complicated. I didn't sit down, and as we'll look at shortly, and go through the whole of the gospel, but all I said Jesus was near and loved and cared. That's what the challenge is. Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to act? I know it can be scary standing up for what we believe, but it shouldn't stop us doing it. I believe that we live in a time that we need to speak the truth. Joshua in the Old Testament, wasn't he? He was called to go into the land, to take the land with the truth of the good news. And that's the Old Testament. And be bold and courageous. And my prayer for us is that we will be bold and courageous and just pray that simple prayer. And perhaps occasionally we'll have those opportunities to share. But remember what Peter says. When we give an answer to anyone who asks, you do so with gentleness and respect. We're not ramming anything down people's throats. So going back to Romans, what has he got to say to us? Just before Pauline's passage that she read to us, the opening verse in Romans 1:1 is this. Paul is set apart for the gospel, the good news. And so we can sit back and think, well, that's Paul's job. He was set apart. But all of us, by God, have been set apart for ministry, been set apart for witnessing, been set apart to play our part in the gospel news, whatever that is called to be. But if we're set apart for the good news of Christ, do we know the good news? Which one know what to say? Let me explain what is the good news in four simple ways. I've done this before. And I use this with baptism families. I use this with other people that need to know. And it's following J. John's very simple 4D principle. If anyone comes up to you, maybe pray this afternoon, you'll get an opportunity to use it. That we live in a world that is designed by God. It is beautiful. It is fantastic. Look at the trees and the leaves on the trees. Look at baby's hands. We know we have a design. It is a beautiful design. And God's created it for us. But we know that in that design, there has been, and I've forgotten the second D, which doesn't help. And that sometimes happens. We think we're going to share the gospel and we can't. Anyone help me out? What's the second D? Design. Oh, got it. See, if I do it, I'm rambling, you see. It's disorder. We know that in our world, disorder has come. We just look around and we see the world in its state. We just point to the wars and the worlds and everything and the illnesses we're facing and the bad things that happen. But then the challenge there that actually we can't just point at others. The disorder is in our lives as well. So we've got to do something about it. So we've got a great design. There's disorder in the world. And then what we've got to do is believe in a deliverer. God spent the whole of the Gospels, I say the Bible, points us to a deliverer, who actually is Jesus Christ. And I'll talk about how he died on the cross for us. The disorder, the sin on one side, God on the other, and the cross in the middle enables humanity to have a relationship with God again. But it doesn't stop there. The fourth D is you have to make a decision to follow the one who changed life and changed our life. The gospel message is quite simple. It's about transformation of people's lives. If that's too complicated, I recommend the 4 points. There are some on the table. I handed them out last summer. We've got plenty left. The 4 points, if you just want to read that. God loves me. I have sinned. Jesus died for me. I need to decide to live for God. Same principle, the good news of Jesus Christ. Karl Barth, theologians, great to quote theologians, isn't it? Said this. The gospel does not enter into competition with other philosophies and religions. It is not one truth amongst other truths. It sets the question marks against all other truths. Such is the gospel. You may have heard of this next speaker, Simon Ponsonby. He said this. The gospel satisfies all human longing, intellectual, existential, spiritual, moral, eternal. The gospel transforms. Timothy Keller, he sadly died now, but a preacher and a leader from America said this. The gospel is an exclusive truth, but it is the most inclusive, exclusive truth in the world. Paul says this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So in proclaiming that good news, we are allowing God to be God. A.W. Tozer said this: the gospel message declares that the wronged God took the wrong upon himself in order that the one who committed wrong may be saved and have life. Salvation brings freedom, escape, wholeness, being found, restored, clean, and released. And I wonder if we've lost a little bit of that excitement that the gospel brings. My challenge is that we proclaim it, we share it, and we live it, basically letting others know. Because if we go to Romans 10, our second passage, how can they call upon the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? We are called to be witnesses to the good news because it's the transforming power of God. If you're in a small group, one of my questions will be answering the question, why is it good news? Now, I have done a lot of thinking about this and I've come up with an A4 side of paper. I'm not going to read it out to you. But it's worth thinking about. Why is the good news for you? Think about it. So as we come to land, just a few takeaways for all of us this morning. The first takeaway is know the gospel. Know how to present it. Keep it simple. Maybe it's the 4 Ds. Maybe it's having one of these in your pocket. They fold up neatly so they fit in your pocket. So that when someone asks, you are prepared. I put in brackets, practice. Talk to each other. Share it. Tell the good news story. The second thing is know our own story, how God transformed our own life. That makes a huge difference because people see your lives. We are a living testimony to who God is in our lives. As I do pray for daily opportunities, I've told this story before. I'll briefly tell it again. I used to do a thing called treasure hunting. So I'd wake up in the morning and pray that the Lord would lead me to people who need to hear the gospel. And I was praying and I had this vivid picture of someone in blue trousers and a pink shirt. I thought, well, that's quite specific. So I went on my daily, I was on retreat. I went to the local co-op and I went shopping. And there was someone in blue trousers and a pink shirt. And I thought, whoa, Lord, thank you. Then I looked over there, there was someone in blue trousers and a pink shirt. Basically, it was the uniform of the people in the co-op. And I ran away. I didn't. I should have done. I did think for a minute, should I get on the tannoy and say something? But no, to my shame, I disappeared. Pray for opportunities. As we share the good news, pray for protection. Pray that the mighty angels of God will surround us. They're fantastic, aren't they, in the scriptures? But they're big, mighty people with swords and shields and battles. They're great, the angels. Or pray for the armour of God. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Belt of truth. Shoes of the gospel, which is the readiness of peace. Take up the shield of faith, which would extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray each day. Something I pray every day. That I'll have the armour of God. And remember the 72 in the Gospels, they came back. And what did they do after they'd gone on a mission journey? They shared the stories. Share stories with each other of encouragement so that we know what God is doing. Encouragement means putting courage in. Sharing those stories, we are encouraged. And then finally, in our church, in whoever we know, who are the evangelists? Find out who they are and let's send them out. Let's not bog them down with, I was going to just say accounts then, but you're an evangelist as well in heart. You might disagree, but you know, we can have more than one job. Let's send them out. Let's bless them. So as we come to land, let's do what we can do. For the gospel and the good news of God. It's the power of God for everyone who believes. The salvation of lives that are lost. Father God, we pray this morning that we'll be encouraged to live our lives for you. That we will share that good news. The gospel. And I pray for every person here this morning. There'll be an opportunity over the next day or two. Just to give a reason for the hope that they have. pray that for myself. I pray that for each of us. Moved by your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name.